live by fear. You know that? You realize that, right? We shouldn't live by it and we shouldn't be led by it. However, there are numerous. Somebody said there was 365. I checked that. You got to stretch it a little bit to get 365. Fear not. But there's a lot of them in the Bible. Fear not. Fear not. That means do not fear. So we have a lot of that going on in the Bible. But in the day we're living, Christians across the land are being persecuted. And it's coming this way. It probably won't be long. I mean, there was a beheading in Oklahoma this week. Of course, the news media called it workplace violence. Well, I don't know where they get that, but anyway. But we in America have been immune from harsh persecution. Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean we should ignore it. Because that immunity is disappearing rapidly. How many remember polio? You know, there's a movement today to not take the vaccine. We don't need to be inoculated for polio. We haven't seen polio for a long time. Let's just not do that. Well, I was thinking about the church. You know, we haven't seen persecution here for a long time. Why should we be so concerned? I think we need to be concerned. We don't want to get lax in our faith. The enemy's tool is fear. Fear is something that the enemy would love you to fall into, because when you're afraid, he has power over you. I think about that. Ever been around dogs? If you act afraid, they actually take advantage of that fear. You know? Well, the enemy's like a dog. He takes advantage of that fear. If you're afraid, he has a foothold. So we cannot allow to have fear to have any place in our life. Like Barney Fife. How many of Barney Fife? John probably doesn't know Barney Fife. Well, he probably doesn't even know it. It was a character played by Don Knotts in Mayberry. You got to nip it in the bud. Right? You got to nip it in the bud. If you see fear cropping up, nip it in the bud. Don't let it take a grip. So, here's a little situation here where Jesus is in the boat with them and they're going across the Sea of Galilee and a big gale comes up and the boat, it says, is filling and is full of water and Jesus is sleeping in the bow. And they're saying, "Don't you care about us? We're drowning here and you're sleeping." And he gets up, rebukes the wind, and he says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Faith dispels fear. Faith dispels fear. If fear takes a hold, faith will dispel it. If there is faith, fear cannot take a hold. If we walk in faith, fear will not be able to take root. But if we're lacking in faith and fear comes, the antidote is to believe. Believe. Have faith. Romans 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous shall live by faith.'" The gospel message is the message of faith. And you learn of God's righteousness from faith to faith. In fact, the righteous man lives by faith. What did it say of Abraham? He believed God, which is the same as he had faith in God. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Righteousness. So, as we walk in faith, we understand or we get revealed in us the righteousness of God. But walking by faith means you're believing something in God. By the way, the righteous man here is male and female. Okay? And God's righteousness is a gift to us. But it's real, but it's revealed or realized by faith. Okay? Hebrews 5, "For though by now you ought to be teachers, you have need again of someone to teach you the elementary principles and the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to what? The word of righteousness. He's an infant." If we miss this thing of righteousness, which comes faith by faith, we aren't growing in the Lord. We're not growing up into the maturity of Christ. So if we aren't walking by faith, we're probably not growing in righteousness. And if we're not growing in righteousness, we're still needing milk. Or pablum. However you want to look at it. The pursuit of faith is always on God's mind for us. You know that? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. It's an amazing statement. We live for one purpose, to please the Lord. But the only way we can do that is to walk by faith. If we lack faith, we open the door to fear. If you lack faith, you open the door to fear. Just throw this in here. If God is for you, who can be against you? That's a simple statement, but do you know how powerful a statement that is? If God is for you, who can be against you? If you're a born-again believer, I'm telling you, not only is God for you, you dwell in God. And God dwells in you. You are one with the Lord, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, just as Jesus prayed that you would be one just as we are one. Now, I'm telling you, if God is an overcomer, so are you. In fact, if God is for you, who possibly can be against you? Who possibly could rise up and say, I'm going to take control here. I'm sorry, I belong to God. I'm sorry, you know. Now, you get this picture, right, of a bully. He's out to get you in high school. And he thinks he's tough. But he's a seventh, eighth grader, you know. He's going to get you. And you got a brother who's 30 years old, and he's a weightlifter, and you know that he's out for you. And the buddy says, or this bully says, meet me in the alley. Guy says, come on, I'll meet you in the alley. But the brother, he forgot. That he was supposed to be there. And you show up there and you're all kind of looking, you know, and you get beat up because the brother didn't show up. Sometimes we look at God that way. We think that maybe God won't show up. That somehow the devil's going to have his way with me. He's going to have me for lunch. I'm telling you, God, one of His names is faithful. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I mean, this is good news. You know, I remember Don Foltenhauer was preaching here once, and he said, what are you going to say when the mafia comes and takes you and they're ready to throw you into the pizza oven? What are you going to tell them? He said, I know what I'm going to tell them. My daddy has a bigger pizza oven than your daddy. This is a powerful statement. You can read it. You can memorize it. You can preach it. You can know it's true and never realize it because of lack of faith. You gotta mix the Word of God with faith. If you don't mix faith in with the Word of God, it's just words. You have to walk out your difficulties with faith and see that God's Word is true. So here's some guys who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, become mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, and women received their dead back by resurrection. Now that's a cool bunch of stuff. I want to be a part of that. And you know what? We can be a part of all that. Because these people were men just like we are, men and women. I'm telling you, these things are for us too. But they get brought into being by faith. Always by faith. And in some ways, we might even have received more revelation than these people had. How about that term, acts of righteousness? That's a pretty important term for us and for you. And if you haven't grabbed on to that, what are acts of righteousness, by the way? Every deed that's done in faith. He believed God, and it was counted him as righteousness, and so it is for you. Whatever you do by faith is an act of righteousness. But I want to just bring you a little up to date here. is acts of righteousness. The term acts of righteousness is very important because it shows up at our wedding. It shows up at our wedding. Our wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. When the bride of Christ is married. But the church has been given fine linen, white, to be clothed with for the wedding. You know how important it is for the bride to be perfect at the wedding. Not anything out of place. And the fine linen were the acts of righteousness of the saints. I think it's important, if we're going to be prepared for the wedding, to know that we need to be doing acts of righteousness. In other words, we need to be a body that's walking by faith. Faith. Believing God. Believing God. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. That's given to us. It's given to us. There's another scripture that says, at the wedding they came and says, who let you in? I'm not talking to you personally, Louis. You just happened to be here. You don't have the right wedding garment on. You don't have a wedding garment. Out with you. We need to be people who walk by faith. And it's not just something that we can say, well, it's an option. Walking by faith is not an option. It's not an option. We have to walk by faith. So you might ask yourselves, how are you dressed? Are you preparing yourself for the wedding of the Lamb? Whoa. Let's see here. Where am I? We're going to this one. Others. I don't like this others, guys. The first ones I like to be a part of that, but these others. Others. Some of us might be of the others. Are you ready for this? Are these people less victorious than the first group? Where everything worked out wonderful. Everybody won. The dead were brought back. The enemies were slain. The weak were made strong. Everything was going good. Others. And others were tortured and accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging and yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. And they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. What about those guys? Are we okay with those guys? Are we okay to identify with those guys too? I was thinking of Vi back here, brought a verse at this home group at Spicer's, and she said, should we just receive the good things from God and not also the bad thing? Out of Job. There's a victory for us. When God is for us, who can be against us? I think I told you this story. This kid, I was teaching school, and this kid said, well, Thompson, you're not going to make it home tonight. I said, oh, why is that? He said, you won't even know what hit you. I'll be waiting for you in the woods with a deer rifle. And as you go by, I'm going to shoot you. And you'll never know where it come from. I looked at him and I said, well, you can't kill me. Well, yes, I can. No, you can't. What do you mean you can't? I said, well, I have eternal life. I said, I never die. He shook his head. He said, you're weird.
You're weird.
Was Stephen victorious? Was he being stoned? I say yes. Were these people victorious? I say yes. The goal in life is not to preserve our life on this earth. The goal is to be a reflection of God to the lost and a witness for Jesus. We are always going to be used of God according to His purpose. Jay Bunker shared this with me. God's promises always serve His purpose. You can't just proclaim the promise of God without first considering the purpose of God. What's God doing in this situation? What is God up to? You just can't start proclaiming promises. God is at work. God's doing something. There were the first group and then the others. We walk by faith, only doing what we hear from God through the Holy Spirit. You can walk a biblical life without faith. You know that? You can actually do all kinds of biblical stuff and not have faith. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," to me will enter the kingdom. For many will say unto me that day, "Did we not heal in your name? Did we not do these things? Did we not prophesy and cast out demons and everything in your name? I never knew you. You weren't doing this in conjunction with me." What we do by faith that we've heard and we obey. I'm not sure how to run this thing yet, but I'm learning. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus." The question is God concerned about your faith? Are you left holding the bag and working it out on your own? No, it's God who is at work in you both to willing to work for His good pleasure. He's doing something in us. But notice here the word "if necessary." I mean, who is it? Who is it in your life that says, "It's necessary, Steve, it's necessary for you to have a trial right now"? What? What do you mean necessary? You mean these trials just aren't their fault? I mean, obviously I got to blame somebody. I didn't think I should be blaming God. Well, you better not be blaming God, because He's got your interest at heart. It's necessary. You know when the word "necessary" is used? Because it's necessary. Think of some things that are necessary. If they're really necessary, they're really going to have to happen. This gets to be very personal. A detailed course set just for you by the one who knows whether or not it's necessary. That very one is God our Father. He allows us to walk out our faith through each trial. Each one perfectly orchestrated just for us. Why? So that when our life on earth is over, our faith will result in the praise and the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ at His return. I believe these testings enable us to get dressed with fine linen. I think it's a wonderful thing, these trials that come. It's a great time to focus in on the Lord for the testing of our faith. That being true, we should embrace these trials with thanksgiving and not with grumbling and unbelief. Must get our eyes off the circumstance and by faith look forward to the day of the Lord. Look forward to His return. Look forward to what shape we'll be in when He comes back. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And endurance has this perfect result so that you'll be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Wow, that's a good place to be. So maybe it's not so strange to consider it all joy. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's working in us faith. In the heavenly economy, faith is more precious than gold. And next, endurance is more precious than comfort. Through the trials, you become complete, lacking in nothing. We sometimes think we go through trials because we're lacking in faith. The opposite is true. We go through trials so that we can be realized that we have faith. The trials bring about the realization of faith. It's not because you're lacking in faith that you're going through these things. I get so upset whenever someone's going through something and that's because of your lack of faith, brother. If you really believed, you'd be rich. Well, you might get rich, but just because you're going through some sickness or whatever else you're going through, don't be receiving that condemning word that you're lacking in faith. We're perfected and made complete in our trial. Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Sometimes, well, you don't understand. Bob Mumford was ministering. You don't understand what I'm going through. I mean, I got this and that. And other, you know, he was very, you know, going through the mill. And Bob Mumford looked at him and he said, join the club. Join the club. So will you walk by faith or fear? If fear is present, the devil will have you for lunch. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But we, strong in the Lord, will resist him in our faith. Are you a child of God? Are you one that has victory? Is God for you? Then who's this guy that's against you? Who is it? Who has this authority that's greater than God? Who is greater than the one who's for you? Is he going to show up or is he going to be like that brother who left you in the alley alone, thinking that you had it covered and you didn't? God will always show up. Always, always, always. He will never fail. So, things are getting pretty dicey. The wind is big. The boat's filling up. You know, we still got to believe, right? Don't give up just because it looks bad. Just because things are getting really dicey out there. That's the time that faith should increase. That's the time that we need to shine with our faith. And at the end of 1 Peter 5, after you have suffered for a little while, sometimes that little while seems like a long while. Our daughter one time, I was telling her, I was saying, well, we're taking this shortcut. We're taking this shortcut. And it got to be kind of long, and my Abigail said to me, Dad, are we taking a long cut? Sometimes, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. So are we going to walk by faith or fear? And the last verse I want to go to here. If I can get there. Oh, I guess we get there and doesn't go any further. So, Revelation. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. The devil has nothing on you. I'm telling you right now, the devil has nothing on you. In fact, I could up that a little bit and say, you have nothing on your brother. If we're really going to walk this thing out in the church, we're going to have to walk it out in love and not anger. We're going to have to walk it out with hope and not despair. We got to walk it out knowing that God is the author of our faith and the perfecter of our faith. And we need to encourage each other in those ways, not counting their sins against them. I mean, this is big stuff. The blood of the Lamb was shed for the sins of the whole world. Our testimony is established through the various trials that God has taken us through. Each one of you have a testimony of God's faithfulness. Each one of you have a testimony of how God has seen you through. And we need that testimony. And our faith in God that we have eternal life and nothing can separate us from His love will give us strength to go through whatever this world can throw at us. Let us change our attitude about the trials we face and know that God is working to reveal His faith through us. We can't afford to be fearful in these days. All the things that are happening can bring about fear. But we don't have to fear because God is for us. God is for us. And is Bob here? I'm gonna close with one song. It's my favorite song of all time. See, she knew. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that we as a body will be prepared, that we will walk by faith, we'll be dressed in fine linen, we'll be ready for the wedding. We'll be walking in a way that we believe You, Lord, and that fear would have no place to find a home in our hearts, in our midst, that fear would not find residence here in any way. Thank You, Lord. You're for us, Lord. You're for each one here. And I just pray, Lord, that anybody that's going through any trial today would rise up in faith. Thank You, Lord.